I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for December 2nd, 2013, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Milner?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. Welcome all of you to our City Council meeting. There are agendas on the two side tables, and if we get to an item in the agenda you would like to address council on, please let me know by raising your hand, and I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. This time, I invite you all to join us on our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Lukey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, we do have a couple of additions tonight. We're going to add an agenda item 16. That will be ordinance 93-2013, a property purchase. Also, when you're on the back page there, note that agenda item 13, you have been issued a revised or an amended ordinance 90-2013. So we'll be looking at that one later in the agenda. Also, you have a revised meeting minutes from our previous meeting that was handed out at your spaces tonight also. Also, there is an agenda item or information item B, the November income tax report. All I have, Mrs. Westfall.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council. Seeing no hands, we'll go on to staff. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Mayor, I'd like to add an item to establish the public hearing for the CVS site plan and zoning amendment.
Okay, that's the CVS property at the corner of Sylvania and King.
Correct.
You apparently have received an acceptable access agreement?
Yes.
All right.
Just finalized it this afternoon.
Mr. Moe.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, we're adding that as 17?
Yes, I added it as 17 to set the public hearing date for the proposed CVS improvement northwest corner of Sylvania and King. All right, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is amended, or is approved as amended. Agenda item 4 is the approval of the meeting minutes, and again, you have a revised copy of that at your places tonight from our November 18th, 2013 meeting. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the November 18th, 2013 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from our last meeting on November 18th, 2013 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. How have they been corrected? I read the ones before.
The clerk can answer that, but there were, a word was corrected on page 5. The top of page 5, city will exercise an aesthetic review process.
Okay.
We had astatic in there instead of aesthetic. It was a computer processor error. And then you were a long ways from the meeting, Mr. Milner, but we had you in here as seconding a motion. I'm impressed with your reach.
Thank you.
We had a vote. It's already been moved and seconded. All in favor of these approving these minutes indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries on those meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda 5, we had expected to have the Sylvania Southview World Champion Empire City Mock Trial Team here tonight to present their resolution, but they are not here. Must have been a mistake or a misunderstanding on the date, so we will reschedule that with them. And we will move on to agenda item six. Francis Camarote called and asked to speak on feral cats here in Sylvania. You're welcome to come up to the podium. I ask you again to give us your name and address, and then you are welcome to address council.
Francis Camarote, 4607 Pittsburgh Drive, Pennsylvania. The city council appropriated money for the Humane Ohio to spay and neuter and vaccinate against rabies to the feral cats in the Pittsburgh Woodland neighborhood. It was also agreed that the feeding station would be moved from the neighborhood, and Mrs. Wheeler would go to the feeding station to feed the cats. I believe this is in the minutes of October 7, 2013. The feeding station has not been moved, and Mrs. Wheeler continues to feed the feral cats. On Friday, November 22nd, I contacted Humane Ohio for an update on this project. Before the project started, we had 23 cats, as one of the females had 8 kittens. I was told by Marilyn, 4 cats were not returned, 13 cats were returned, and 4 of the kittens were being held until they could be neutered, spayed, or adopted. As the neighbor continues to feed the feral cats, another black and white cat has joined the group. Humane Ohio also is bringing shelters to put in Mrs. Wheeler's yard to discourage the cats from going under desks, porches, etc. This is a health issue, as they continue to use my and Mr. and Mrs. Pearson's yard as their personal litter box. We have the 2 yards that are not totally grassed in and have sandy soil. I contacted the Lucas County Health Department, Mr. Butcher, who agreed this was a definite health issue and would come out to speak to Mrs. Wheeler, but could not find her. Knowing that nothing would transpire from this meeting, we agreed this was a waste of his time. On Friday, out of frustration, I called and made an appointment with Dr. Esplin to see if he could give me any guidance as to how to tackle this health issue. Dr. Esplin was very gracious and showed great concern over this issue. These are the facts that he said to me. Humane Ohio only spays, neuters, and vaccinates against rabies for the $25 fee for each cat. They do not test for feline leukemia, toxoplasmosis, which causes blindness and disabilities to unborn human fetuses, and roundworms, which can live up to 18 months in soil. Children and immune-compromised people, cancer patients, are susceptible to being infected with these parasites. He suggests not only wearing gloves while working in our properties, but face masks also. I am recovering from 2 types of cancer, as well as my husband. Both Mrs. Pearson, Mrs. Albert, and myself, whose properties border Mrs. Wheeler, have recently had knee replacements. It is necessary for us to take antibiotics just to have our teeth cleaned. Dr. Esplin has offered to be available to answer any questions or give guidance if Mr. Lukey, Mrs. Westfeld, or any other member of council should care to contact him. He strongly suggests a law be put into effect that anyone feeding feral cats should be fined and that the fine be substantial enough to deter them from continuing to feed them. I have asked to be put on the agenda for this meeting to ask City Council to enact legislature which would address the health and odor issue which is resulting from neighbors feeding feral cats. Residents in all of Sylvania should be discouraged from feeding feral cats. This is a health issue. And for anyone's information, Dr. Esplin is not my veterinary doctor and never has been. I just was aware of his excellent reputation that Dr. Esplin has and that he is very community-minded. My association has been for the last 1.5 years renting cages from his hospital to capture these feral cats, which have quickly multiplied. Any questions?
Thank you very much for your research. We appreciate that help. This is an issue that I know you met with the law director last week, and we discussed it preliminarily. Apparently, the Sylvania Code does have some issues in there about harboring animals that do damage to neighbors' properties, but we need to do more research on that to find out where we're at before we can recommend new legislation to city council. City council was not aware of that until this moment.
Thank you.
But we appreciate your research. We think highly of Dr. Esplin and are concerned about the health issues that you just raised tonight. I was not aware of those issues at all. I don't know if, Mr. Aller, you have anything you'd like to add at this time? It sounds like that you have the most up-to-date information from Humane Ohio, and I have charged the law director to research our existing code, and we were surprised what we are beginning to find there that could address your issue. If not, we will propose legislation.
Appreciate it.
Certainly. Questions or comments? All right, yes, sir. You need to come up to the podium and speak.
Oh. I just wanted to add a little thing there.
Please come to the podium first. Give us your name and address, and then you're welcome to address city council.
I'm Kevin Armstrong. I live just down the street at 6742 Maplewood. It just came to my mind that wouldn't there be something in the zoning that would deal with stray animals and stray cats and in the feeding of them? It seems really strange to me that somebody could keep that many cats.
The issue, you are correct. The issue is establishing ownership, and there is a term used, harboring. We're researching what that legally means right now.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for your comment.
Thanks.
Questions or comments from members of city council? Mr. Lupke.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I am just curious what we expect to take as the next step after the law director looks at the rest of the books and determines where we are from a legislation standpoint. It seems to me that as soon as we find out whether there's a violation or more, that we should take some enforcement action.
I have discussed that with the service and safety director and with Mr. Mullen. Once we establish what the current law says, if it allows us to take action, I will send Mr. Aller back to visit with Mrs. Wheeler and inform her of the fact that she is violating the law and that we need her to cease, and hopefully she will. But if not, we will begin assembling the evidence we need and then beginning the fining process.
Okay, so will this be a civil approach or a criminal approach, Mr. Mullen?
This is not under our zoning code. This would be under our Chapter 5 code. It would be a minor misdemeanor citations in the Sylvania court.
And who issues those citations? An officer?
Those are issued ultimately through our prosecutor's office once we've determined that the code is applicable and then that there's sufficient evidence to establish the criteria of harboring and so on. It's a fact-by-fact, case-by-case analysis. We'll have to go into that once we've concluded our analysis of this statute. There may be items on our code that could be applicable to resolve this issue if the facts are there. And in discussing them with the lady that spoke earlier, that there may be that type of evidence available. We'll have to see.
Okay. What kind of time frame can you give us in terms of how long it might take to do your due diligence?
I'd like to get back here before the end of the year. So to start with that.
Okay, we do have a council meeting before that.
I think the research of the law and a course of action certainly can be resolved by the next council meeting. Then it's a case of analyzing, do we have the factual basis to bring the complaint? And that's where we have to partner with the complainants, those people that are interested in see whether they're there. And in the meantime, I think another visit needs to take place with the lady that apparently is providing the food. So we hope to do that within the next 2 weeks as well.
Okay, let's do that. And then we'll figure out whether there's a legislative.
Yeah.
let's see if what we have in the code is sufficient or whether we need additional legislation. We are unsure at the moment. All right. Mrs. Hussman?
Mr. Mayor, have we paid Humane Ohio some money?
The last I checked, we had not, but Mr. Allen?
No, we have not received an invoice. They did indicate in telephone conversation that I had with them that their time and efforts was $670 for round numbers. But that's what that we would be seeing as an invoice, so. But we have not received any invoice yet. I would like to point out too, Mayor, that these conversations have been centered around one person feeding, and Humane Ohio indicated that they witnessed five homes that were feeding the cats. So we're not talking about one place, that there is more than one person involved, so.
We will try to get that information as well. Mr. Lupien?
Yeah, one other matter related to this, and I guess it's just a matter of an update from Mr. Aller. We did talk about moving the feeding station. We chatted about that informally earlier today. That's difficult because this is a fairly densely populated neighborhood.
I don't know where you would move it to.
Yeah, have we, though, pursued this with Humane Ohio? Have they given us any thoughts about that?
Yeah, they indicated that that is not a common practice in their operations. And I think if you go back and listen to the conversation that took place, it was suggested by a person that had been a volunteer with Humane Ohio that she had heard that other places had done it. And they actually did it in their neighborhood, I believe, and moved it basically out to where there are no homes. We don't have that situation here. I mean, if we move the feeding station, we're moving these feral cats from one neighborhood location to another neighborhood location. There's no place to move it to where they're not going to be present. So they would not recommend using that practice in this situation. So it's not one that they use very often at all.
Okay.
So.
We will work on confirming the information that there are four or five other feeding stations going on at the same time and try to work with Humane Ohio and see how that affects what's going on.
Sure.
All right. Any further comments, questions from members of council? Seeing none, let's move on to agenda item 7. You have a report from the service director concerning change order number 1 and the final change order for the bridge work that was done on Erie this past summer. That project was a very fast project, and we got the road open within, I think, 45 or 50 days. However, there is an add to this contract. One of the reasons was that we decided to use low-strength, self-leveling concrete, K-creek, instead of using soil backfill. But I'm going to let Mr. Aller discuss this change order instead of me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like all good streaks, they all come to an end. I had come to council with, I believe, 3 straight deduct change orders on projects, but I've ended my streak here on this one. The project did have some overages. On the main addition to the contract is what the mayor mentioned. We went with the control density fill for the backfill on the bridge rather than go with granular material, whether it be excavated sand or stone. We did that to provide a better foundation, to eliminate the possibility of settlement over the years and having to redo the pavement of the deck on the top. We felt it was a worthwhile investment that will pay off for many, many years to come rather than having to worry about the settlement issues that you do with stone and regular compaction. So this project did have an increase of $45,261, which is near 10% of the contract. That is high, but 18,000 of that is actually density fill. And if you take that off, we're down in about the 5 to 6% range, which is acceptable. It's on the high side of a project, we've done so well on other projects, and we had to the main issue on this, in addition to the controlled density fill, was the rock elevation, where we took the borings in that area, and you have to figure that's only about a 50-foot wide area, but where we took the soil borings to determine where the rock was, it was the highest point in that whole area. So now when we go back in and we start setting, pouring concrete to establish the foundation, now we have to pour concrete in that whole other area to raise it up to that level. So that's something that you just don't know until you get down there, get excavated and see what you actually have. And concrete was a large factor, both in the fill that we changed and in the additional materials that we need on this project. So we recommend approval of the change order. Contractor did a very good job on the project.
We have received many positive comments about it, and we're glad that it's going to not settle and last longer. That's a good improvement. Also speeded up getting the road back open. We do have ordinance 86-2013 to authorize this final change order. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 86-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number one, final, to this city's agreement with Vernon Nagel Incorporated for the Erie Street Bridge number 122 replacement project, which reflects final bid quantity adjustments and additional work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $45,261.51, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second, third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 86-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 86-2013.
Second.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 86-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 86-2013 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8, you have a proposed contract for additional work by JJR to provide preliminary engineering for River Trail Phase 2. This is additional work that's necessary to determine a final path through the floodplain and floodway. And then be able to work with the Corps of Engineers to make sure that they will approve that path. We need to do that before we can go out and apply for some of the grant funds. We are already out working on the Ohio Capital Improvement Bill that was reviewed through the Toledo Chamber of Commerce a week and a half ago. But to get some of them, we have to have engineering done on the project, so we need to proceed with this. Mr. Aller has worked with JJR. It's a $17,000 additional engineering, and we have a commitment from Flower Hospital through the president over there that they will split this cost with us. $8,500 will be a city expense, $8,500 will be reimbursed to us by Flower Pro Medica. So I think that's in a very good position. We do need to proceed with this so that we can keep going down the road and get closer to getting the grant funds we need and having the engineering bid documents we need to proceed with River Trail Phase 2. Anything to add to that, Mr. Aller?
No, Mr. Mayor, unless there's any other questions.
All right. With that, Mr. Lupke or Mrs. Capellini, I'm not sure who has done River Trail ordinances between the two of you in the past.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 87-2013. Copies have been previously provided to members of council, therefore I'll be read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of JJR LLC to provide preliminary engineering for the River Trail Phase 2 project, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $17,000, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 87-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 87, 2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 87, 2013 as an emergency measure. Mr. Hanem.
Yeah, the preliminary engineering will include cost estimates at the end. Is that correct? And that's part of what's incorporated. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay. Again, it's moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 87, 2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 87, 2013 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 9. Both 9 and 10 are water-related ordinances. Proposed ordinance 91, 2013 is ordered legislation that we discussed previously about passing through the increases from the city of Toledo for the cost of bulk water and do not include any increases for the Sylvania building part of our water, current water costs. So the, even though Toledo is giving or has a 13% increase, it'll be a smaller percentage increase to our customers, but it'll be the exact dollar amount passed through from the city of Toledo. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 91-2013. All members of council previous receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Amending the codified ordinance of Sylvania 1979 as amended by increasing water service charges per 1,000 gallons from $4.51, $4.50 to $5.96, or $5.96 for the city's users, and from the $5.63, or $5.63 to $7.45, or $7.45 for non-city users commencing January 1st, 2014. From $5.96 to $6.47 for city users, and from $7.45 to $8.08 for non-city users commencing January 1st, 2015. And from $6.47 to $7.04 for city users, and from $8.08 to $8.80 for non-city users commencing January 1st, 2016, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 91-2013 mercifully be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance 91-2013.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 91-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 91-2013 is approved. Agenda item 10 is also a water increase, but it's for new service, water tap fees, which have not been increased in 12 years. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, in 2001, the fee of $900 was established for the water tap fee, and it hasn't been adjusted in the 12 years since. New Ohio EPA regulations that go into effect January 1, 2014, have required us to purchase all new stock. The EPA regulations reduced the amount of lead content that could be present in any brass fittings or water fittings that are used in services. In doing that, as you can imagine, with new regulations come new prices and increased prices. Our water department staff took a look at what we're having to pay for these new fittings. And, you know, time and labor costs have increased over these last 12 years. And our current cost, actually, with the new fittings, will not cover our material cost, let alone any labor that we have in installing these new taps. So I'm recommending that we increase that tap fee from the current rate of $900 to $1,200 for new connections that come into the system. This will not affect any existing customers in any manner. It just affects new taps made to the system.
Does this affect transfers?
No.
So these are, this is for new construction, new links into the system?
Correct.
And Kevin, what would be a typical average of the number of these a year that are performed?
We, last year, I believe we had 26. I would have to go back through the record. During the heyday, that number was a lot higher, you know, when development was going on. But it's obviously slowed down, and that number is quite low now.
If a property goes out of use and gets, for a period of time, and there's a water shut off, and then it comes back on, do we charge a tap fee then?
No.
Okay, so for some reason, I thought that did apply, and it sounds like a big raise. Now, when I hear what you're talking about, why aren't we setting it at a rate that, so this is like new construction?
Correct. Yeah, basically new construction, yeah. Or an existing house that wasn't connected and decides to...
Wasn't connected to water, yeah. How much higher would it have to be to cover our costs?
The 1,200 covers our costs.
It does. Okay, yes. I thought I misunderstood.
No.
I'd like to comment that Mr. Aller did contact me and wanted to know if I wanted to hold a committee hearing on this. And when he explained the whole process to me, that we were just covering our costs and it would not be an increase over covering our costs, and we have been losing money in the past, I didn't feel it was, you know, appropriate to call everyone in, talk to them about something that I felt that we should have done probably a year ago. So that's why we did not have a committee hearing on it.
All right, then. Would you like to introduce the legislation?
I sure will, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 92-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies are read by title only. Amending Section 921.06C of the Codified Ordinance of Sylvania 1979 as amended by increasing the water tapping fee for a standard one-inch tap from $900 to $1,200, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 92-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Ordinance Number 92-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 92-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 92-2013 is approved. Agenda Item 11 is an annual ordinance. Well, it would be for three. It's a three-year contract, but it's a renewal of an agreement with the Board of County Commissioners for after-hours animal control services by the dog warden. This does not affect our current cat negotiations. The county dog warden does not do cats. But they are renewing this contract for the same $2,500 that they have done for the last three-year period. So the administration recommends approval of Ordinance 88-2013 and renewal of that contract. Anything to add, Mr. Aller?
I would defer to the chief on this, Mr. Mayor, as he's handled this agreement in the past.
There's really nothing to add there, Mr. Mayor. You know, basically, back in 2007, we entered into an agreement with the Lucas County Commissioners for animal control services rendered by the dog warden's office. Since that time, it's a renewable contract every 3 years. The cost of this has not increased since that time, $2,500. The only other cost that we incur on this is overtime costs that's paid to the the dog warden personnel, they have to come out after hours. So we have to pick up what they charge us for that. And that basically runs, we have regular services supplied by them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Anything after 4 p.m., you incur the cost if they're called out, and plus on the weekends if we have to call them out, so. It would be my recommendation that we renew the contract.
Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 88-2013. All members of the council, having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with the Board of County Commissioners of Lucas County, Ohio, for after-hours animal control services by the dog warden of Lucas County, Ohio, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 88-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 88-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 88-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 88-2013 is approved. The next two agenda items, 12 and 13, are both compensation ordinances, and they are to increase non-union employees' compensation and benefits to match those that are currently under contract in our union contracts. We are entering the second year of a three-year contract, and these will make similar adjustments. However, it's not quite that simple. We are not giving the highest paid positions any increase at all. We are trying to bring those costs back down to what we think is a more competitive level. But everybody else is getting a similar increase. Now, Mr. Schroyer, maybe I've oversimplified that, but that's generally what we do.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. This is an annual pay ordinance. Majority of employees are receiving very similar exactly to what the union contract calls for, which is 1% pay increase to the base, and then different levels of bonuses depending on your pay level. And correct, the directors and higher paid employees are not receiving a pay increase.
There are a couple of pay adjustments beyond that in here that have been discussed with Mr. Lupke and I believe Mrs. Westfall, where we have eliminated positions and put more responsibility on individual positions. We're giving a few people a little bit more pay increase. And in addition to that, we are setting the salary for the special counsel in this ordinance as well. Now, we've discussed the special counsel. We have a retirement at the end of the year and a new law director coming in. And up until then, we have a law director and an assistant law director in his employ. After the first of the year, we'll have a law director, not as a consultant to the outside, but an employee of the city of Sylvania. The special counsel position is to fill that assistant law director position. So we have a backup if the law director is not available. And we felt it more appropriate to bring that position into the mayor's office, chiefly for economic development, which is where he will be working, but will also serve as the assistant law director, also at a lower cost than what it's costing the city now for the assistant law director. And that is included in this ordinance as well. Mr. Lupke.
Yes,
another challenging one to read.
Another challenging one to read. Let me say, though, before I do read it, that I think the administration and Mr. Schroyer deserve a lot of credit, the mayor does as well, for making this part of its effort to hold the line on expenses for the new budget. As Mr. Schroyer pointed out, our highest paid employees will not have any adjustment to the base, which will hold steady the that line item. the rest of the employees are getting exactly what our bargaining units have gotten. And I think it's important to point out that this is happening for the second year in a row. Am I right, Mr. Mayor?
That is correct.
So I believe that this is one more example of our administration working very hard to help balance the budget for the new year. With that said, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 89, 2013. Copies have been made available to members of council previously, therefore I'll read by title only. Making certain position and compensation pay plan changes, making certain salary, wage, and other service compensation adjustments to the codified ordinance of Sylvania 1979 as amended, and other ordinances, by granting pay increases to some of the appointed officials whose titles are listed in section 139.03E3, with all the increases provided herein for the treasurer and the director of finance being allocated to the director of finance, and with the increase provided herein for the director of public safety being allocated to the director of public service, by amending section 139.02A to change the class grade of administrative assistant to the mayor from 15 to 16, to change the class grades of human resource specialist and clerk of council from 18 to 21, to change the class grade of tax specialist from 13 to 14, by granting a 1% pay increase to all non-union city employees and court employees whose positions are included in the list of occupational titles of section 139.02A of the codified ordinance of Sylvania, which increase is reflected in the annual wage rate schedule 4 of section 139.10D of the Sylvania codified ordinances, by amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Section 121.02 to create the new part-time position of special counsel and setting the salary for the special counsel at $54,000 annually commencing January 1st, 2014, by granting pay increases for some of the employees in the Labor and Trade Supervision Group, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 89, 2013 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 89, 2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 89, 2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 89, 2013 is approved. The second part of this is agenda item 13. As a part of the union contracts, there are also signing bonuses that were provided, one-time lump sum bonuses. And the advantage to having one-time lump sum bonuses is that they are not permanently part of the base pay going forward. And that's why we've reached this agreement with the labor unions, and we need to do a similar adjustment for our employees as well. Again, they are not, we are making adjustments to that, whether it's a highly paid person or a lower paid person. For the lower paid non-union employees, we're giving a little bit bigger bonus to help compensate for the increased costs they have for their city health insurance. I'd like to add on to that, Mr. Schroyer.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to add that that is a cost that we're, a bonus that we're phasing out. With the health care, it was kind of a three-year deal, just like the union contracts, and it's decreasing each year, and then it'll be phased out for the additional for the health care.
This is a companion ordinance to the one we just passed. I asked if they could be combined, and the decision was that it's much better to keep these one-time bonuses separate from the base pay ordinance. That's why it's a separate ordinance.
Mr. Mayor, I think we want to change section 86 to section 8 on the second page.
I agree.
So we just won't mark
that.
Just
mark out the 6 so it becomes section 8. And then if when it's proposing, just say revised ordinance.
There you go. Yeah, I'd like to also point out that I'm going to be reading the amended version of ordinance number 90, the change previous to Mr. Hanum's change. That is in section 5. It was just a typo. The original version that you all had was $200, and the actual amount intended is $800. So that's the change. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 90, 2013, as amended. Providing copies have been previously made available to members of council. Therefore, I'll read by title only. providing for one-time lump sum bonuses to be paid on the first full pay period of February 2014 to some of the full-time, non-union city employees and court employees whose positions are included in the list of occupational titles of Section 139.02A and 139.03D3, and four, providing for one-time lump sum bonuses to be paid on the first full pay period of February 2014 to some of the part-time, non-union city and court employees whose positions are included in the list of occupational titles of Section 139.02A and 139.03D3, and four, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that revised ordinance number 90-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 90-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of revised ordinance number 90-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and revised ordinance 90-2013 is approved. Thank you all very much for that. This sets us in very good position. It matches the budget we've already passed and will take us through next year. And I think we'll be back with you in a year because we'll be entering the third year of our current union contract. Moving on to agenda item 14, committee reports. Are there any reports to be made at this time? Or agenda item 15, committee referrals. Any referrals? Hearing none, we'll move on to added agenda item 16. You had your council at your council seats tonight, proposed ordinance 93-2013. This is an ordinance to purchase property. This property purchase was discussed in executive session a few weeks ago and then appeared in the press. Some of the information got out of that or into the public realm. And so I don't feel any need to go into an executive session at this time. You have attached to here a proposed purchase agreement. Mr. Moan, would you, I see that it's actually been amended since I signed it.
That's correct. Mr. Mayor, this purchase agreement reflects a purchase price of $30,000. We submitted an offer of $27,500 to buy portions of the rear of two properties owned by Ruth Leros on Maplewood behind the court's building. And we negotiated the agreement. It was presented to her right before Thanksgiving. Wednesday, last Wednesday. We had some delay in being able to complete the purchase agreement because we needed to have survey work completed to define the exact amount of the property that we would be acquiring. That was presented to her. She met with her private counsel, I think, and with one of her family members. Met with her today, and she had signed the agreement. The only changes was to ask for $30,000. That was a number that had been discussed, a range of a purchase price, and she countered, which I felt was acceptable. The only other change to the agreement was we had proposed in the agreement to provide her an asphalt turnaround at the rear of her drive, and she has requested that that be concrete. The change in price is de minimis. Discussed it with the service director and don't feel that that is an issue as well. So those are the terms of the purchase agreement. If it is accepted by council tonight, it will require, subject only to a lot split approval, which would go to the plan commission, and potentially this is a matter that can be concluded yet this year. I'll be happy to answer any questions if anyone has them about the contract.
To clarify, this does not provide for the construction of any additional parking spaces, and the construction of those parking spaces, I believe, will take a zoning amendment or special use and will require a public hearing. So that's a little ways out in the future.
Would that also require a vote of the council?
Yes, it will. It's a zoning change. It's a special use permit. So it comes back here after it goes to the planning commission. can't do that until we have a lot split and acquire the property, however.
I have a question. How it just, was it determined exactly that these were the appropriate parking spaces to purchase and build?
Well, the lot dimension was determined by looking at preliminary layouts of a parking scheme that would work to attach from the existing parking lot to come between the two buildings the city owns, both the administration building and the court building. We did this in-house. Joe Shaw from the city's Department of Public Service did the schematic drawings, and then working with the surveyors determined the exact dimensions.
So I have to say, ever since one of the neighbors brought this to my attention, it's been driving me crazy, like, how this decision was come to, because we actually have a parking study that I forwarded to everybody, and the boundaries, I mean, the study, it wasn't a random study. This was done by JJR, council participated, staff members participated, community leaders, business owners. This wasn't just a fly-by-night study. There was a lot of effort put into this. And the beginning of the study determines the boundaries of what's considered the downtown business area. And hopefully everyone had time to review the study that we did a few years ago. And the railroad tracks are one of the boundaries. And then one of the reasons it was determined that that was a boundary is because on the opposite side of the railroad tracks, it's not easily accessible to downtown shoppers. And people that drive in that parking lot don't think, oh, look, I'll drive to this other parking lot, because you can't get there. And a lot of the business owners didn't even know that there's that little path that fits between parking lots. So, and then, just because it's been making me insanely crazy, and I live near there, for the past 2 weeks, every time I, like, leave my house or come home, I cut through that parking lot and count the spaces, because it just doesn't make sense. And if I would have had more time, I would have, I wasn't sure if this was tonight or 2 weeks or a month. If I would have had more time, I would have printed this out in a spreadsheet and given it to you. But, I mean, I could just read all the dates. It's going to be really boring, but too bad. So, November 5th at noon, 58 empty spots. That was a Tuesday. Wednesday, which is supposedly the busiest day, November 6th, 12:30. 43 open spots. November 7th, Thursday, 10:30, 23 open spots. November 7th at 3, 46 open spots. November 8th at 2, which is a Friday, 26. I mean, the list goes for 2 weeks. And the busiest days, which are Wednesdays, there's usually, like last Wednesday, there were 28 open spots. So I don't get why we need this, unless we want to increase our government footprint for some random reason. If you, there's some really, like, great ideas for improving our parking in the study.
I believe the study does call for it in the executive session and the body of the report to expand and enhance the existing municipal lot. Mr. Brown wanted to speak.
Yeah, one comment I'd like to make to the parking. We've tried to do a lot of economic development in the downtown area, and one of the main concerns we all have is that when a potential person, business owner, comes to our community, and let's say they want to be in a building on Main Street, they're looking for guaranteed parking spots for their employees. By purchasing this property, I believe it'll make it feasible for us to guarantee parking spots for potential businesses to increase our economic development. It's not all about shoppers. It's about getting people to bring their businesses into Sylvania and us being able to provide them with guaranteed parking spots for their employees. That's how I'm looking at this.
I agree. We do need more parking. I mean, that's what the whole parking study was about, but it's about
the parking. The problem,
I just
Katie,
talked, Mike, it's my turn. Yeah. And part of the thing is to have the parking in the right spot. I mean, you believe it's going to help, but
There's no...
I think the key to this, in talking to the downtown business owners, the problem is employees of those businesses are parking in that parking lot. They need to be told by their employers to park across the railroad tracks, and in order to do that, we have to have enough spots for them to park there, even on busy court days. My intention on this would be to work with the downtown business owners and have them tell their employees that they have to park across the railroad tracks. The city will enforce, if necessary, a three-hour parking limit to make sure those employees do that, as requested by the downtown business owners. But until we have enough spots, we can't do that.
How many extra spots do you need for those employees?
How many new businesses do we want to have in our downtown? Until we have these spots, we won't grow anymore. We've had businesses turn away from our downtown because we couldn't get the spots that they wanted.
The spots that they want aren't on that side of the railroad track.
For their employees, they are.
So we have a...
For the shoppers, they're not.
Do we have a plan to tell those business owners a mandatory parking arrangement that they have to park there? I mean, without telling, like say, Reveille, all those the people that work in there saying, you have to park on the other side of the track.
We will, when we have the spots for them, yes. And the city at any time can begin enforcing its three-hour parking limit in that parking lot.
I mean, the other piece of the picture is that we've put all this effort into the CRA district in improving our historical neighborhoods and the homes, and to put a parking lot in the back part of those Maplewood homes, it doesn't do anything to help improve them.
Gentleman out there would like to speak. Come on up to the podium again, sir. Welcome again.
Hello, Mayor and Council. Kevin Armstrong, 6742 Maplewood. I'm here because of this issue. And I agree with Mrs. Cappellini that I don't see where that parking helps the downtown. I really don't. I think it might help a few employees in the municipal arena, but as you start to extend that way, the push will be to push and push and push and tear down this house and then the next house and the next house, because we're going to need more parking. If you want more parking lot, there's a wonderful apartment building over there. Make a beautiful parking lot. It was a lumberyard when I was a kid. It wasn't ever a parking building. Anyway, I don't think it's the right place for it. There's a lot of other property. If you want to have development, we've got a lot of big things that take up a lot of space in the city of Sylvania. But putting parking on that side, I'm not sure that it's money well spent for the city, and I don't think that it's good for the downtown neighborhood. I don't understand, get the survey, if you look at my street right now, I've got all the utilities marked out and all that stuff. Why are they marking all the utilities if we're going to take up and put two little parking lots back here in the back? What's the master plan? There doesn't seem to be a good sense, but I do appreciate your comments, but I'm not in support of more parking going that direction.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Aller, can you give any idea why they marked all those utilities out? Because there is no plan to demolish any structure, homes, or apartment buildings as a part of this project.
No, when you do the survey work, you have to call in a OOPS request. They call in an OOPS request. It's Ohio Utilities Protection Service. And they ask for the utilities to be marked so that if there is anything on those lots, because the survey was in the lots that were considered purchasing. But in order to tie those in, they have to tie them into section corners, flat corners, what have you. And so they call in that whole area. So that's why the utilities get marked in the whole block in instances, because of that notice that goes into the OOPS call center. And then it goes out to utilities, us being one of them, and the utilities go out and mark. If you'll notice, you won't see water and sewer marks in all of the area because our OOPS locator called me and said, do I really need to mark the whole street? And I said, no, we don't need to. We're only dealing with those two lots. So
I was a little trees up and down my street, but that's another wish, you know.
Questions from members of city council?
Mr. Mayor, I'm sure you're aware of, there's some community concern about this, that it's reflected, and I don't know how widespread it is. I know I was directed to a Facebook page that was collected.
Very nasty Facebook page out there.
Yeah.
The mayor's office has gotten one call about that Facebook page and this issue.
Okay, nasty Facebook page, but a Facebook page nonetheless, and it was brought to my attention. I ran across it. I don't know who else has. I'm a little concerned.
It's been brought to my attention by a number of residents, yes.
Yeah, oh, okay, well, that concerns me too, and that is that this kind of came up at the very last minute, and I'm a little concerned about public participation, share this, and whether the public's aware of this, and whether those people that are concerned about this have had an opportunity to be made aware of it. I didn't realize we got this until late this afternoon. So my preference here would be to give folks some time to know about that we're doing this, and that they can come to a council meeting and express an opinion if they have an opinion. If there are circumstances that we ought to be aware of that we don't want to make, I mean, we're able to talk about some of these issues in executive session if we choose, but on its face, I would be inclined to just do a first reading on this evening and add it to our next agenda so that the neighbors who apparently are, some neighbors are concerned about it, and few people have called your office. I don't know what they said.
Actually, I've had one call to the office. I've had other people ask me about the Facebook page and say, isn't that silly?
And
this is not being taken seriously. However, I have no objection to delaying this one meeting. However, that's not my recommendation to council to do that. It has been reported in the press already. People have had a chance to review this, and we've gotten no comments. I am frustrated by the action that's been going on against the development of our downtown to support the person who wrote the webpage. I appreciate your comments, sir. Yours are good comments. Come on back up if you want to talk.
But let me finish saying what I want,
sir.
Okay, and this is a process issue. Okay, I don't like getting this.
This is not a public hearing. Either.
This is not what I don't like getting this at 4:30 in the afternoon, knowing that there's a degree of community concern about this, and they don't. I don't know if they know about this or not, because it's not on our agenda. It's not part of our public notice. It shows up late. Obviously, on Wednesday, you knew we were going to do this. It could have been added.
You didn't have a contract.
So you didn't have a contract. You knew we were negotiating. Okay. Well, then this just isn't the time. So my preference would be to do a first reading, and that's my preference. And council will do what it chooses.
Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. I just think that, you know, the people in the neighborhood don't really know anything about this plan or any of this stuff that's in the works, and I find that a little bit disappointing. I mean, we do live right here. You could have passed out flyers. You could have done anything. Could have come and knocked on my door, said hi to me. It's just a little bit strange that, you know, what's going on. It's now I've heard that it's come through executive session, and you say it's been in the press. Well, I haven't seen anything about it. Didn't know anything about it until today. So I would just like to say that. You can say it was in the press, but when we live right here, we don't know.
Mr. Armstrong, could you share with me how you learned about this being on the agenda so you were able to join us this evening?
I got, actually, somebody got a text message,
yeah.
And I'm not really quite sure where it came from, but.
So do you have the phone with you? Perhaps you could check on that.
Okay.
Where did the text message come from?
It was actually a copy of the Facebook page.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. I got it as a text.
It was a copy of the Facebook page.
And so other members of the Maplewood area may have received a similar text message?
Possibly. Well, that's one of my other neighbors, Mrs. Dubia. She lives on this side of the street in the last house. And she's concerned more about the next phases of the proposed plan.
Mr. Mayor?
We got another.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Melissa Dubia. I live at 6745 Maplewood. And I guess, you know, it's, there's all these plans and all these thoughts that are circulating. And I've called and chatted and I have called your office a couple of times and been rerouted. So I don't know if that counts as.
I think you're talking to Mr. Sanford. You are the call I'm referring to.
I know. Okay, well, that is me. But I, you know, I just, it just doesn't sit well when you think that something's going on in your neighborhood and you don't, and you weren't made aware of it from people who you trust. And I just kind of wonder how much parking is going to be enough. And we've only got so much space to make surface parking lots that maybe we need to start thinking about other solutions. And, you know, I would like to see that investigated a little more. I would like to see investigated, there's a lot of green space in front of our buildings, our municipal buildings, our court buildings. Why is that more important to protect than my backyard? So anyway, I just wanted to come and let you know that I'm concerned again. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Lukey had to speak earlier.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It strikes me that this is becoming much more contentious than a $30,000 transaction ought to be. And I share your disdain, I guess, Mr. Mayor, for the Facebook page that's floating around. It's, you know, very uncivilized and unprofessional.
Misinformation and personal attacks are not well thought of. And information that I thought was part of an executive session appeared on that web, that Facebook.
Okay, well, look, I'm not going to speak to that point, but I guess I'm going to speak to this. Quite apart from the website, the Facebook page, I think there is sort of a lack of information in the community. We have in our backyard here a pretty activist group of citizens, right? They are proud of their neighborhood and they're proud of their historic homes. Things that I was going to ask you about tonight probably are questions that they have. You know, there has been discussion about extending the parking all the way across the back of all of those lots. There's been some discussion about this notion that has been floating around for 25 years about a civic block in that neighborhood. It strikes me, and I had not thought about it until Doug raised this, but it strikes me that maybe if it doesn't jeopardize the deal, Jim, we might want to delay final action until next time, just, you know, so that we accomplish a sense of being totally transparent about this to the neighbors. And I bet
the contract provides for approval by council for next council.
Okay, so I guess I would, just to clear the air about all of these issues and not let people like the author of the Facebook page have the final word, I think it would be well advised if we did just have a first reading perhaps and deal with this in 2 weeks so that we can clear the air of all of this misinformation.
My comment would be that this legislation is not to put in a parking lot. It's for the acquisition of property for the potential of putting in a parking lot. If we decide to put in a parking lot, which we probably will, there's a whole process we do have to go through with the public hearing, you know, the planning commission. You know, there's a whole procedure, you know, for this. I was going to recommend that we vote on this legislation tonight until Mr. Moan said that it won't jeopardize the contract. If it were to jeopardize the contract with the seller, then I would suggest that we do it. But if we can just do the first reading tonight and finalize it next council meeting, I don't have a problem with that. But this is not for the construction of parking lots. This is for the acquisition of property, period.
Yeah, you know, and Mike, I appreciate that, which is why I raised the question to Mr. Mullen. But I think sometimes issues like this are all about body language, not about necessarily the facts of the matter. And I think our body language needs to be that if our citizens, if we have a sense that our citizens have questions about what we're going to do, we should delay and ask them in and have them ask the questions.
I think we should do the first reading.
Sure.
I agree with that. And it's, and I, and Mr. Mayor, just so I'm clear, so you're clear, I agree, the webpage is ridiculous. And I've expressed that in a message to the author. But, you know, the concern is, and I think, you know, deference to Katie as well here, who has talked to a number of her neighbors about this. I think just slowing down, giving our neighbors an opportunity to address us if they choose, just as a matter of process, I think that's a preferable way to go.
I have no objection to that at all. I do object to the Facebook page and the way that this has been handled. But I am in no rush to do this. This is a decades-long process, and we are just taking the next logical step to help with the development of the civic area. There's no plan to buy the whole block. There's no plan to tear down a single house. But there is a plan that would eventually extend that parking all the way across behind the municipal building. But that is years away. This property owner is favorable now and has signed a purchase order that's good for another couple of weeks. So I have no rush in this long process. Mr. Milner.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to say I get frustrated with the idea that we can't be progressive to try to increase the economic activity in downtown Sylvania. I remember when Interrupt Marketing came to town, the number one issue that they had was lack of parking for their employees. So it seems to me that if we're going to continue to have a balanced budget, and if we're going to continue to provide the services we provide our residents at a reasonable cost, we're going to have to continue to do things and continue to make tough decisions to encourage businesses to come to our community.
Thank you. All right. Mrs. Hussman, this is actually a property and grounds issue, building and grounds. I think that it sounds like consensus unofficially would be, and I agree with it, let's just have a first reading of Ordinance 93-2013 by title only.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Ordinance Number 93-2013, authorizing all members of council previously receiving copies. I would like to read by title only, authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to enter into an offer to purchase a portion of the property located at 6719 and 6725 Maplewood Avenue, Sylvania, Lucas County, Ohio, 4365, that's not right, 43560. Owned by Ruth Lieros, trustee, for the amount of $30,000, providing funds for said purchase, authorizing the payment and the purchase price. That's it.
There's no second required. There's no vote of council. It'll go into the minutes as a first reading. So with that, we can move along to added agenda item 17. This is to set a public hearing for the proposed CBS project at the northwest corner of Sylvania and King. If you recall, the Plan Commission was back about a month ago with a recommendation that required some ingress and egress agreement with the property owner, with the property developer. The law department and the service director have been working on that since, and apparently this afternoon you had agreement.
Yes, correct, Mr. Mayor. Late this afternoon, we came to an agreement with the property owner for the internet access easement, and that being the issue, or that being the item that council wanted to have cleared up before we established a public hearing, we're now ready to be able to set that date.
Mrs. Booker, are you prepared to propose a hearing date.
I did not know this was...
I think January 6th will be too soon, is my guess, so I'm guessing we're going to allow to Tuesday, January 21st, to make sure that you have the 30 days necessary.
Correct.
So I think the motion would be to say public hearing date for Tuesday, January 21st. We do not have a meeting on Monday, the 20th, because that's Martin Luther King Day. So that, Mr. Hanum, would be proposed public hearing date, probably 7 p.m. on the 21st.
Yeah, so I move that we establish, what is the action? Do you remember? The number? Doesn't matter, I suppose.
We need to identify the project.
All right, we'll just move to hold the public hearing on the proposed CVS project on Tuesday, January 21st at...
Seven.
Seven? Seven sufficient? At 7 p.m.
A second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to set the public hearing for the CVS project for Tuesday, January 21st at 7 p.m. and advertise the same. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to the end of the agenda. There are two informational items. First day was the notification for that annexation hearing. Mr. Moan, any comment about that one?
No, that's the hearing date. We have also filed a second annexation petition. We don't have a date on that yet, Leslie. So there'll be another one coming probably the next council meeting.
The other informational item that was handed out tonight was the November Division of Taxation report. You'll note that that shows 4.64% increase from a similar time last year. That's still above our budgeted amount, so we're doing all right.
4.2 is the budget.
We're marginally above that. It is down a little bit from 5% as reported last month. There's no further items for consideration at this time. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until Monday, December the 16th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.
Yes, don't take it.